Brandon Huddu up to find out what went on at the New Zealand Music Awards last night. That was interesting. I mean, for no other reason than what happened on stage than off stage. I mean, normally you get a whole lot of off stage antics going on. You know, a lot of boozy stories. Somebody was going home with somebody else. There's always a bit of gossip. You never know your luck with what goes on at awards. I mean, look, to be fair, I've been to my fair share of awards nights. And let's just say they end up as torrid affairs. You roll over the next morning. You might be in your 20s. You roll over the next morning. You open your eyes and you say, oh, hello. You know? But no, last night was absolutely interesting because of what occurred on stage rather than in the back rooms. Well, I can't say that we had a correspondent there last night. We actually didn't. He was there of his own volition because he's actually an award winner. Who knew? I thought only I had the awards. Mostly I go and buy them at second-hand shops because other people are now dead and they give them out for free and you can buy them for $2, put them on your shelf. And when somebody comes around to your house, you say, wow, look at what I got when I was in my teenage years. I was a superstar rugby player. Little do they know, you got it from the $2 shop. So the hooker shop, you got it from the second hand shop. Brandon Huddy's on the line. Brandon, welcome, brother.
Morena,
there you go. Now, did you roll over this morning, Brandon, and there was a Sheila in the bed next to you and you thought to yourself, I know your name, but I've forgotten. Please tell it to me. None of that?
Oh dear, no, none of that, Matthew. I was well behaved last night.
Oh, John, this is going to be a very sad conversation then. Langer and I were waiting for the gossip all morning, and here we are. I'm already depressed. Big night last night.
You know, if I had, to cut a long story short, if perhaps maybe I had have taken out a few awards last night, the story may have been a little different. So I can anticipate Marlon Williams may have had an interesting morning.
Hey. Even in my condition, I'd roll over and say good morning to Marlon Williams. I tell you. Yeah, there's going to be a few phone calls now. Hey, but it was also a big night because Dame Linda Topp got on the stage and basically unleashed. Did you see it?
Absolutely. Her speech was nothing short of captivating, and she actually had the entire room in silence right up until the end, and then everyone just stood up in a roar. I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. It was really, really beautiful to hear her speak. You could really feel her emotion as she was, she was on the verge of crying on stage, and I loved everything she had to say in regards to the government, especially since we had the budget proposal yesterday.
Yeah, well, we covered that yesterday. Talk about depressing. Hey, what are the comments that she made? Because I was watching this earlier this morning. She said, when we performed 40 years ago, there were hundreds of venues in this country. We played in cafes and pubs, rural halls, woolsheds, she says, house parties. And now we've lost so many of those places for young artists to perform. And I must admit, I've partaken in some of those little community halls. And yet it seems to me as if it wasn't just about the government, it was about something we ourselves as a country have lost. Would that be fair?
That's absolutely fair in saying it. And in fact, Auckland, where Auckland used to be a thriving hub for bars and venues, you can pretty much confidently say that that's been reduced, I'd say over 50% now. Mm. You've got maybe a handful of a couple of venues and a massive gap between large venues that are very hard for up-and-coming artists or even some established artists to perform in because they're just so big. You need to fill them up before you can actually book them in. And then on the other end of that, you've got small cafes which aren't big enough or smaller venues. There's a huge gap between them on top of how many have been reduced, I want to say, in the last 5 to 10 years.
One of the other things she says, and I've been writing all this down, she says, I see young artists struggling not because they've got a gig on Friday night, because they're trying to put through some sort of crazy mother beeping arts at submission to get a few lousy dollars from the government. And the truth is, the submission itself might not even get through. And so you've got these young artists struggling, not because they don't have a gig maybe on Friday night. They know that's going to not pay the bills. But they're spending so much time on these crazy-ass submissions for a little bit of lousy dosh from a government that doesn't give two shits.
No, that is absolutely true. The funding pools are hemorrhaging and have been hemorrhaging for the last 5 years, where there used to be, you know, a pretty well-balanced competitive pool of artists competing, but now you can confidently multiply that by 100, and they're all competing for the same fee amount, which sometimes doesn't even cover your gas to try and make it to the music video that you're trying to film.
Well,
won't even cover the studio cost.
Can I take this just one step further? Because, you know, I think we need to send a letter to Paul Goldsmith to maybe not go to these events, because last time around it was, I think it was, what's his name, from the Mutton Birds, was it? That had a crack?
Yeah.
Yeah, at Chris Bishop and Paul Goldsmith. Well, and then, of course, Dame Linda, she honed in on Paul Goldsmith, the Minister for Arts, Culture and Heritage, who said, "I believe that our Arts and Culture Minister is here." She starts, "We are not defined by a government. We are defined by people and culture and our art." Now, I'm going to skip a little bit of what she said. But then she says, "I did a speed read on the budget this afternoon." She said, "There doesn't appear to be any money for music, but in big, big letters in the top of the news, $2.1 billion for defence. What the F?"
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
you know.
I must say that.
I grew up.
That caught me off guard.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with the Top Twins. I think they were absolutely remarkable. They defined a period in our history. They were the right people at the right time, all this sort of stuff. I mean, my God, to be standing up there after you have literally just lost your twin sister, your partner in all things entertainment, and then to round in on the government and say, yeah, basically you're a pack of hooers.
Yeah, and I had no idea Paul Goldsmith was in the audience.
In fairness, Brendan, I don't think Paul Goldsmith knew he was in the audience.
I had to turn my head and go, "Oh no, please put a spotlight on him so I can see him."
Well, I mean, it's not hard to see a parkour in a sea of brown. Oh, we're going to get in trouble for that one, but that's okay, because there's no Broadcasting Standards Authority anymore.
That's right.
Now, look, let's stay away from the politics of it now. Did you have a good night, though? Did you have a successful night?
I had a wonderful, absolutely successful night, bumping into many musical peers over the years that I've also collaborated with and had the privilege of sharing the stage with. And I can happily say it was beautiful to see a lot of Māori artists represented really well on stage last night, and just hearing Te Reo Māori on that stage and knowing that it would be broadcasted out to the masses across New Zealand was really a beautiful thing.
Well, okay, so I'm pleased you said that, because I did watch the performance of Marlon Williams and also the Kapahaka group from Hawaii Waititi. I thought that was amazing. To be fair, I mean, you know, I also listened to the interview with John Campbell behind the scenes with Shea Fu. I mean, I thought that was hilarious. Something about a Vietnamese, I think it was, drug dealer or some sort of story. That was hilarious. Now, do you have any gossip? Who's seen
no,
who?
Unfortunately.
Who went home with who? Who did who? Oh, no, that sounds bad. It sounds really bad.
Well, I anticipate there were a couple of refreshments happening in the break, and there was a joke made as everyone was returning into the theatre about, you know, placing a particular substance that's usually consumed in bathrooms.
Oh, carrot juice. Carrot juice.
Yeah, I think it's carrot juice.
Yeah, we call it carrot juice in the business.
It makes everyone's mouths, you know, kind of do funny things, and it makes everyone's eyes kind of just pop out every now and then.
Judging by what happened last night, the Minister of Arts, Culture and Heritage had that effect.
Yeah, I think he had quite a bit of carrot juice last night. Good for the heart, I hear.
Nothing is nothing like carrot juice is good for anything, Australia. Now, look, I need to go back to Marlon Williams. I'm fixated on Marlon Williams. I mean, I understand you've got a boss at the radio station where you work. I mean, are there any treats for the boss? Are there any treats?
No. Marlon is, he is truly exceptional in all of the awards that he swept up, I must say, last night, because he truly did sweep them up, were well-earned and well-deserved. And I think, you know, after the first couple of awards, you could see the drinks were starting to increase in volume. And then I think, so, you know, smiles all around. Whatever happens at the after parties, I have to say Matt stays at the after parties.
Are you sure? Because that's not what Troy King is saying.
Oh, no. What is Troy King saying?
Well, no, nothing. I'm just making it up in the case that he might end up calling me and telling me to shut up. But, but I mean, you know, I've got to say what I saw last night, not that I was there because obviously we were doing the budget special, is I saw a community that that was alive. I saw an arts and culture sector that knew what they were doing. I just didn't see a government that knew what they were doing.
Absolutely correct. You know, there's so many musicians and so many artists, especially in this particular field, that are very well aware of each other and aware of the struggles of what it takes to be in this industry. And they are all aware of it, but the government isn't aware of it. So I think while last night was a celebration, it's still a little hard to ignore the elephant in the room when it comes to music and the arts industry.
That's right. Now, yeah. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go here, and this is something you probably didn't see coming, because as you know, I'm a fashion commentator with my black vest and my jeans that I wear every day. I'm going to say that the best dressed woman at the event was someone called Geneva AM. I certainly don't know her personally, but if you had the chance, Barno, to go and Google what she was wearing, she looked absolutely incredible. And I'm going to go that the best dressed male was my Fanonga Troy Kingi. Look, I don't always know what he wears, but he wears it, right? He wears it.
He flaunts it.
Well, I don't think there's any not flaunting with Troy Kingi, but I've got to say, it gives you hope on a day where the budget was bleak and black and the skies were grey that Marlon Williams can come your way. See, I'm a poet. Brandon, I'm a poet.
Well put. I love that.
Well, I mean, I could go into any one of my words of the day, but as we know, they're wholly inappropriate for broadcast radio. One involves thunder and the other one involves another four-letter word. Brandon, thanks for joining us, and we will see you when we see you.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show this morning, Matt.
Pleasure. Now roll back over and say goodnight to that missus.